Lord God, as we have heard your word, let us reflect on your word. May we be open to your message, and may your Holy Spirit be present within us. Amen. As I start today, I felt that there was a little bit of background that we needed before we looked specifically at the reading that Alan has just said, just read to us. First of all, this part of John's Gospel draws together the first half of Jesus' ministry, his teaching, his healing, the people he met, and it draws it together. And then in the next part of John's Gospel, we begin to move with Jesus and his journey, his final journey, into Jerusalem and to his passion. The other consideration that I feel that we need to consider is that this, in fact, is part of a conversation that Jesus is having with the Pharisees. And it's a continuation of events which took place in chapter 9. Now, I'll leave you to read that on your own, but I'll give you a quick summary. In chapter 9, Jesus had given sight to a man who was born blind. The religious leaders got to hear about this, and they questioned the man and his parents regarding how this had happened and who had done this. And not believing that the man had been given his sight by Jesus, they excommunicated the man from the synagogue because they considered he had been in sin. Now, Jesus heard it that this had happened, and he went and he sought the man out and he engaged him in conversation. And some of the Pharisees were standing nearby listening to that conversation. And in the last two verses of chapter 9, the Pharisees asked Jesus, "Are you saying we are blind?" And Jesus replies, "If you were blind, you wouldn't be guilty. But you remain guilty because you claim you can see." And then he continues into his narrative, because when Jesus taught people, he often used the images of everyday life that folk would understand and that they could identify with. And so on this occasion, he used the image of the shepherd and his flock. And what he in fact was doing in the passage was criticizing the religious leaders in the way, and he had done this before, as we know, he criticized the Jewish leaders in the way they interpreted the Jewish laws, and especially in the way they had dealt with the man to whom he had restored his sight. The image of the shepherd is often used in the Old Testament, as well as in the New Testament. And we know from the passages that we've read that so often that we hear about the sheep and the flock. And it's God, Jehovah, who is often called the shepherd, and the people of Israel were his flock. And we know Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me in green pastures." Many of the words that are actually in the passage that Alan read. And in Psalm 95, David writes, "We are the people he watches over, the sheep under his care." But the shepherd image was also used to denote a leader among the people. And use the example of Moses, first of all, because when Moses was given the message by God in the burning bush to go to Egypt and lead his people out, he was in fact tending the sheep of his father-in-law, Jethro. And he went back to Egypt in order to bring the people into the promised land. But it was also Moses at the end of his life when he was leading the people. They were almost within reach of the promised land, and God had told Moses that he would not cross over to be in Canaan. And Moses called out to God in Numbers 27 to appoint a new leader to the people. And he said to God, so that the people of the Lord will not be like sheep without a shepherd. And God said, choose Joshua. And Joshua was anointed and chosen as that new leader, the shepherd, in place of Moses. And we know that David was a shepherd boy at Bethlehem before he was anointed and chosen by God to be king. So God did choose leaders to be shepherds of his flock in earth. And now the Pharisees, they were religious leaders of the people. They were meant to be the shepherds. They were meant to care for the people in their community. They were meant to help them, to be able to help them if they were in difficult times, and to keep them close to God and to his laws. And so we move on to the reading, because in the first conversation, Jesus talks about the type of sheepfold that was found in images in towns and villages. The sheep were often brought in at night, and they were put in walled enclosures to be kept safe from any predators. And the villages appointed what they called a gatekeeper. And that gatekeeper would lock the gate and keep the sheep safe. And in Middle Eastern times, the shepherd would go and collect his sheep. And of course, when he knocked at the door and the door was opened, the gatekeeper would recognize the shepherd, and the shepherd would call out his sheep. And also in Middle Eastern times, and in fact happens now, each shepherd had an individual call. And he would either call his sheep by their name or by his own call that the sheep would recognize. And they would come out and follow him. They didn't follow any other shepherd, because they didn't know his call, hence the term, they wouldn't come to a stranger. Any other shepherd would be a stranger to him. And so the shepherd would lead out his sheep. And then Jesus said, but if anybody comes in any other way, they would be a thief and a robber. They're coming over the wall. They're not coming through the gate. They're not the legitimate person to come through. And so Jesus says, anybody that comes in that way, they had no legitimate reason to be there. They would be there as a thief, as a robber, and their intent would be either to steal or to harm the sheep, because they would be set to destroy the flock that was there. And Jesus was, in fact, in that passage, telling the Pharisees in no uncertain terms that they were not good leaders of the community. They had cast out the man who had been born blind from the synagogue, which in effect had separated man from his worship of God in the synagogue. And so they were like thieves. They were harming the sheep. They weren't caring for the man. They weren't listening to him. Jesus could be seen to compare them to the evil shepherds mentioned by the prophet Ezekiel in chapter 34. And God said to Ezekiel, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds, the leaders of Israel. Destruction is certain for you shepherds who feed yourselves instead of your flocks. Shouldn't shepherds feed their sheep? You've not taken care of the weak. You've not tended the sick or bound up the broken bones. You've not gone looking for those who are wandered away and are lost. So my sheep have been scattered without a shepherd. I now consider these shepherds my enemies, and I will hold them responsible for what has happened to my flock. So Jesus said, you are guilty, because they hadn't done what they should have been done. And I was interested that twice in prayer this morning, Stephen has specifically mentioned the people in the community, the people who are missing from our congregation, the people who need a shepherd. So thank you for that, Stephen. It is, I think, a very strong message to us that we are both saying the same thing. But despite it being an image that the Pharisees should know, the passage tells us that they didn't understand. Which is strange, because they were religious leaders, and as Stuart said a few weeks ago, as part of their training, they were studying and learning the scriptures. In fact, they had to really know the scriptures off by heart. So you wonder how they couldn't see that image of the shepherd caring for the sheep and leading the sheep and doing what the shepherd actually does in his devotion to his flock. So Jesus tries again. And this time he uses the illustration of a different type of sheep pen. Shepherds quite often had to travel quite a long distance because the ground in the Israeli-Palestine area was really quite stony. There wasn't a lot of verdant pasture, and so the shepherds sometimes had to cover quite a distance till they found grass or water for their sheep. And when they were out in the country from place to place, there would be this type of sheep pen, which was just what we would probably call like a dry stain dike built up of a wall with a narrow entrance. And to keep out the predators, which were usually maybe wolves, they quite often put thorns over the top of that wall so that the animals couldn't in fact get over and get in among the sheep. But the shepherd would actually lie across that entrance in the way you see in the picture, because anything that tried to get in would have to cross over him. And the sheep, the shepherd would actually defend the sheep against the animals that were coming in. And Jesus uses this illustration because he says, well, that says I am the door or the gate for the sheep. And he is saying that he is the shepherd, and only through him can people enter safely, and that the safe entrance was into the presence of God. And we know that he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. So he comes through that, empty coming through that gate, comes through Jesus. And with both these illustrations, Jesus was in fact telling the people who were listening that he was the Messiah. He had been the person that had been called by God to protect his sheep, his people, to lead them back to God like the Good Shepherd. And he was also fulfilling the Old Testament prophecies. Isaiah 40 says, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will carry the lambs in his arms, holding them close to his heart, He will gently lead mother sheep with their young. So in this New Testament reading, the shepherd image brings together Jesus' identity, the witness of his life, and belief in him as the Son of God sent here to us on earth. And Jesus is also saying that he is our salvation. He knows each one of us by name here. And also he came to show us what God is like and to open the way to him. There was an old Hebrew saying, because in the passage Jesus also says that you can go in and you can go out and to be led to green pastures. And that, in fact, was an old Hebrew saying that if you could come in and go out, it led you to a place that was safe and secure. So, in fact, in going through the gate, through Jesus, into the presence of God, there we will be welcomed into the fold where we're safe and secure, the sheep of his flock. And the promise of green pastures we know will be cared for, will be nourished, and will be fed through Jesus. And when we come into his presence, we will find that safety and security in our lives, because our lives are in God's hands and worries and fear are gone. Jesus' term is, it's life in all its fullness. But Jesus again mentioned thieves and robbers, even in the second of his illustrations. And what he was saying, he quite clearly said, it wasn't so much, it was people who had come before him. And the people that were leaders before him had in fact spoken to the people and promised them, if you follow me, all will be well. If you follow me, you will have a great life. But what they had done, in fact, was to incite war, rebellion, uprising, and cause much destruction. They were false leaders, and they did not care for the sheep. And so Jesus said, do not listen to them, because that was not God's way, and their way was not successful. So we have a lot to do, and as I prepared and read about the thieves and the robbers, not that I'm suggesting we're thieves and robbers, but there is much in the passage that we should take note of, because there is a community out there, and I notice in the focus for the prayer walk and for the focus for prayer for this week, it's that the people in our community will come to know God as their Saviour. And so that, to me, is a very clear message to us that we should be looking out, and that we should be not just the sheep of God's flock, but the shepherds to lead others into the presence of God for the life everlasting, and to have that salvation that we know awaits us. And so the message is clear that Jesus is our salvation, and through him we have that life in all its fullness. Because we know better, and we will follow Jesus as our shepherd. And in that way, we have peace and love and the promise of life in all its fullness. Amen.